Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Tyler.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
So today is a topic that you and I touch on frequently in our crossovers. When I say, hey, how's your life, Tyler? And I go, still single.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
And then last week, it was a little, I think I turned around and I said, are you happy with that choice? And we had a kind of a brief conversation about your theory and philosophy and feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
So
it kind of stayed with me throughout the week.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then this morning when I was swimming, because you know, I don't think other people know, but you know that I tend to be a little last minute with the show themes because I wait for something to kind of come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be current. And so I was swimming this morning at the pool and really feeling anxious, like, what will be today's topic? And then as if someone was whispering in my ear, I thought, I'm going to talk about being single because It's a very current topic, and Tyler and I just talked about it, and it just seems like such a powerful thing to talk about because I have a lot of friends that are single, either by choice or by life circumstances, but I have a lot of friends that are single, and we have different conversations about their experience of being single, from our conversations about your comfort with it, and we'll talk about that more, to friends that are really sad that they haven't found a life mate or a partner, and then friends that are mourning the loss of a partner and find themselves single. And so I imagine that there's a lot of other people outside of my social circle that have that experience. So I popped my head up out of the pool and I turned to my girlfriend, Lily, who always swims next to me and who happens to be single. I said, Lily, I thought of a great show topic today. I want to talk about being single. And she looked at me and she said, okay, I was just going to tap you and say, why don't you do a show about being single?
While y'all were swimming.
While we were swimming. So we had a water merging experience about the topic. And so my girlfriend Lily is going to be here today to share her perspective on being single. We're going to talk to you. I have one of my roommates from college, Lasta Draskovic, who is a lifelong single lady. And she's also the founder and creator of the podcast Kiss My Age, which is a great title. So she's going to call in, and I'm hoping a lot of other people who have thoughts about being single are going to join us today for a lively singles conversation.
Should be fun. I've been thinking about it a lot this week, and now that I've got a fresh mustache, is it going to keep me single, or is it going to just really just invite people in? Who knows?
Well, because no one else can see you but me, I have thoughts and feelings about that as well. But what are your feelings about being single?
Mine, you know, I go back and forth with it. I committed to being single for a whole year. I was really happy with that choice. I know I've never really gotten that upset about being single, whereas I have friends that it really defines them and they're upset. And I feel like the more you look for it sometimes, then the harder it is to find. That is just my own personal philosophy. I feel like every time that I've not been single has been at a time where I've said, I absolutely don't want to be, I actually want to be single. And then it happens. So I feel like you have to not look for it. But then I also find myself thinking more and more about relationships lately. But I'm also it's not a defining characteristic over who I am and doesn't really define me, at least at this conjecture, my point. I'm maybe in my life, maybe in a few years that will change. But at least for most of my 30s, it hasn't been a major influence. I've been really focused on career and getting a lot of things done that I ended up doing later in life.
Do you think it's an age issue? Do you think it's an experience issue? You know, for you, is it there's more people to meet in your mind, or you're just not at a place where the settling down or committing to one person is a priority?
I think that has something to do with it. I think, you know, I'm very career oriented right now. And as a member of our LGBTQ community, it's not the hugest population out here on the Central Coast. So I haven't met that many people out here. Not saying that they're not out, but I also sort of not where my head's at when, I don't know, going out or meeting people. I haven't been to like any singles events, so I don't really know what it's like out there.
So you would probably, if I were going to categorize you in your singledom, would be under the category of content or single and still loves the thrill of new relationships?
Oh gosh, is there a bridge between those two?
Well, there might be. And then you're not single and painfully aware that you're single.
Definitely not the third one. I would say a mix of one and two is definitely where I lie. Content, but also the thrill of new things is always super fun.
Absolutely. And there's actually, you know, different research on being single, but there's up to 12 different categories of,
oh my gosh,
yes, of the single experience. And it's also interesting, you know, 30 something years ago, which whenever I say that and then I look at you, I think before you were here, I read Susan Faludi's book, Backlash, which actually has been updated and is still relevant today. But one of the things she spoke about was a Time magazine article that came out in 1979 or 80, that was a research study that basically concluded that if women weren't married by the age of 30, they had as much chance of finding a partner as getting struck by lightning.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ronald Reagan used that statistic quite aggressively in his campaign for president as kind of a way to bully or frighten women out of the workplace. Because remember, this is right at the start of the second wave of feminists moving out into the workplace, and real change in our social culture. And so his feeling was we needed to get all of these women out of the workplace and back home where they belonged. And so he used that statistic a lot. Interestingly enough, right after this Time magazine came out, within weeks, the researchers recanted their statistic as being completely false and inaccurate. And yet it continued to be used as a rallying cry around why women shouldn't be working for years later.
Wow. You know, we've always, as the journalist here, I want to keep my thoughts, you know, to myself, my own experience. But I do believe there is a lot of conditioning in our society to think that being in a relationship is what we should all strive for and what ultimately makes you happy. And that the hearing that doesn't really surprise me.
No, and you would hope that 30 plus years later, we would have come a long way from that mindset. And in ways we have, here's a couple statistics because the journalist and you will enjoy it. In the 2017 census, it was reported that 110 million American citizens were unmarried over the age of 18, which is 45.2% of the entire American adult population, which is the highest number of single adults ever in the history of this country. For contrast, in 1960, 72% of all adults were married. But today, of the 110 million who are unmarried singles, 63% of those singles have never been married, and 23% are divorced and 13% are widowed. And so statistically, the majority of these singles live independently. The majority of them are women. 53% of our single population are women today. And the same study found that the mental health and well-being of the majority of the singles was really quite good. And there was a lot of research done about the different categories of singles and where people found themselves. And the hardest, the most challenging piece of the single story, though, was for those singles who still are looking for a long-term committed relationship and the opportunities to find those relationships, make them happen, source that has become more challenging. So the question of the research is, are these 45.2% of the American population single because they've actually really chosen that, or was part of that I've become content or accepted that this is my life's journey?
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm, again, curious to see where that takes us today. We're going to talk about being single. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of our conversation by joining us on the phone at 805-781-3875. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on our Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, or on our Facebook, The Reluctant Therapist. There's a fun picture of myself and my single lady friends when we were 15 years old on the Jersey Shore, if you want to check that out. You can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org. You can podcast our show by visiting Apple Podcasts or however NPR podcasts that you find your podcasts. Look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe, and the show will be uploaded for you to listen to at your convenience. So I look forward to seeing where we go. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Today's topic is single. Are we happy with our single? Are we concerned about being single? What is the experience of being single for you? Our number is 805-781-3875. And on the phone is my college roommate. We should have prepped each other before we had this call because it's only been texting.
Yes. Thank God we're not FaceTiming.
No, I know. Then I would just be laughing the whole time. We'd never get anything done.
I know.
Okay, Lasse, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being the kind of friend that I can text and 2 hours before the show and say, hey, do you mind calling in and sharing very personal information about your life as a single woman? And you say, yes.
Yes, as I've been drinking martinis since then.
Okay, good. Looking back over pictures of us in college, weeping a little. But Lasse, also I want to mention that you are a documentary filmmaker in one of your iterations of life, and you also are the founder and host of Kiss My Age, a podcast.
Kiss My Age show, yes.
And how is that going? What made you decide to put that podcast out in the universe?
You know, because it's interesting. I think when you get to be a certain vintage, as we like to say, you know, our demographic of women, let's say 40, 45 and older, we kind of disappear. Advertisers don't really target us, you know, men don't whistle at us. You know, you're kind of a little bit invisible. And I was like, well, that's, I'm not going to swear, but that's just bull crap. You know, that's ridiculous. And I was so frustrated because I'm like, wait a minute, I've got things I want to talk about. I don't have a very large circle of girlfriends. So there's certain things that I wanted to talk about that nobody was talking about, whether it's, you know, anything from menopause to finances to, you know, caring for the elderly or whatever. So I said, I'm going to start a podcast. And it's kind of like the Wild West podcast. And I have a friend here who's divorced with kids. And she has a friend who's still married to her college sweetheart. So the three of us sit around and talk about all these issues. And, you know, it's been great. It's been very therapeutic. And just, you know, it's kind of funny to just be completely honest with people. So people now know about my mom. People now know about gray pubic hair. People now know about all the joys of getting older. And I love it. I mean, I love it. I mean, I have no regrets or any issues. I'm trying to stay positive, and that's what vodka is for.
I like that last line in there. Just slip that in. But have you addressed the whole idea of being a lifelong single woman?
Yeah, we did one episode on that, you know, because it's like, okay, you know, versus being divorced and then versus being married and trying to, you know, it's so funny because I, in talking to people, and I never really put a huge focus. I was never like, oh my God, I have to be in a relationship. I can't be single. I have to be in a relationship. I love being in relationships, but I haven't been in one in so long. I don't think I know what I'm missing, if that makes any sense. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't begrudge it. Am I content? To an extent, yes. But I'm not putting forth much effort to find someone because I'm just kind of transitioning into like my second or third act, I guess you could say at my age. I don't know which act I'm going into. And, you know, and add to it the winning combination of I live with my mom. And who is fantastic at 86 and, I don't know if she's going to hate me for saying this, but just smoked pot for the first time.
She's a much more rowdy roommate than I was. I'll just say that.
Oh, my God. No kidding. Well, imagine, you know, like you're like, I just at one point I look up and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm smoking pot with my mother at the dinner table. OK, what has happened to my life? You know, but she's great. But now it's, you know, we're a package deal. I'm not going to. I don't want to say abandon her, but like if, you know, if I find someone and I get into a relationship with somebody, you know, mom's part of the deal.
It's almost like a single mom who has children that they're bringing into relationships. Now you're bringing your mom into any relationship.
Exactly.
All right. So let's be real here though. When was the last time you were in a committed relationship?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh, it could go back like 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, a couple of dalliances here and there.
Right.
I use the, you know, 1700s vocabulary. Yeah.
and so where you are now, I understand there's some benefits to that because you've had a really wild and freewheeling career and opportunities that people who are married don't have. But what have been some of the downsides for you? Like, did you want to make the mom? Did you want to do the mom trailer?
Yeah, I never had the being a mom gene type thing. I mean, I was lucky enough that, you know, like you said, I've had a great career that's taken me around the world and had a lot of fun all over the place. And then when I started really kind of focusing on, okay, I'm going to really get into documentary programming, and I worked with my brother who owns a production company.
But he doesn't live with you. Just your mom.
Pardon me?
He doesn't live with you, though. Just your mom.
No. So my brother lives, you know, down the street. But, you know, he had three kids. And so I was able to grow up watching, you know, my nephews and going to every football game and going to everything and babysitting and all of that. So I feel like I got the benefits of, you know, being the cool aunt and giving beer money and all that fun stuff. But I don't think I could have handled the responsibility of being a parent. And I didn't want to be a parent alone. I always believed that I needed to have a husband to help me be a parent because I like to sleep and the stress just would have destroyed me. So to all you parents out there, kudos because I couldn't do it. But I never really have felt like, oh, damn, I missed the opportunity to have kids because I have so many nephews and nieces and everybody else's kids and all the baby showers and everything like that. But at this point, it's the companionship. Mm-hmm. It's just somebody to change the freaking light bulbs. I just cannot. I'm so bad. Take out the garbage. You know, my mom jokingly says, you know, you're the man of the house. And it's like, I don't want to be the man of the house. And it's not that I need to have these traditional roles of the man taking care of me financially or taking, you know, that kind of thing. But just it's the companionship that I do miss. Mm-hmm. And I'm still a hopeless romantic. I still believe, you know, I'll be inviting you to my wedding and, you know, and we can reenact some fun stuff from college. But I still believe that, yeah, someday I will get married. And I'm also a little bit old-fashioned. I don't like the whole online thing. That is just a disaster because, you know, nobody ever is exactly what they say they are in the profile. And I just think it should be a little bit more organic in meeting somebody. But it's tough in L.A., like, to be, you know, where are you going to meet somebody?
Right.
My mom keeps saying, yeah, go to church. I'm like, okay, Mom, when was the last time I went to church?
But I do recall many a conversation in college about your mom wanting to marry someone with the same background, which limited your dating opportunities as well.
Oh, yeah, well, with a Serbian background,
yes.
I mean, either I'm going to marry a priest. Jesus, can you imagine that? that would just be being a priest's wife. Just come on. And, you know, that never... Yeah, it came to fruition. And then it transitioned into, you know, just meet somebody who can use a fork and a knife. And and now it's just someone who has a pulse.
Oh, there we go. And so that bar starts to shift a little bit. So if I were looking at the list of types of singles, would it be fair to say that you would be one of the organic singles waiting for a relationship to happen organically without being pushed?
Yes.
And would you also consider yourself maybe the slow and steady single, which believes that when it's right, it will be right, and I'm in no rush to get there?
Yes, because, I mean, you know, look, I'm not getting any younger. If I was really in a rush, I would have done something about it by now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I'm just kind of like the lazy dater, but when I do meet somebody that I click with, then I want it to just stay in that bubble.
Right. So there is a part of you that when the person is right, you're happily stepping into coupledom. You're not a hardcore single for eternity person.
Right. And I think, you know, one thing about also maybe getting older, I think I, you know, when I was younger, I was more into certain, not labels or whatnot, but just they've got to be this, they've got to have that, they've got to do this. But, you know, now it's kind of like I said, just, you know, decency and integrity and a sense of humor and, you know, love sports and that's about it.
Be kind.
Be kind is huge. Be kind. I mean, you know, men and women can be such unkind souls. So I look for the kindness. Yes.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest at this moment is my college roommate, Lasta Draskovic. She is a documentary filmmaker, among other things, and also a host of the podcast Kiss My Age. And I'm also joined in the studio today by my friend Lili, who I talked about at the top of the show, who kind of helped me put the show together this morning. And Lili, you are also a lifelong single, like my friend Lasta. And
right.
How does your experience align with hers? And Lasta, you're still on the air, so don't start drinking wine yet.
Well,
oh, oops.
Actually, Lasta, hello. Nice to meet
Hi,
you
Lily.
Virtually here. Yeah, I relate to a lot of things you said about being single and this kind of thing. I think personally that starting my business back in 1994, that became a marriage. That became a full-time commitment that I was pouring my heart and soul into. And that went on for so, so long. And it kind of put blinders on me in terms of emphasizing getting married and this kind of thing. But now, fast forward, and I would love that. I mean, I'd love to be in a relationship with somebody special and wonderful. But it's just really hard to meet people.
And did you feel, because Lasta, we haven't talked about this, but when we graduated from UCSB in 1983, right?
Oh, Jesus. Do you have to really?
Well, I want to be real. If we're going to be real, let's be real. And at that time, there was a lot of pressure for women to enter the workforce because of the feminist movement, the second wave.
Right.
And I took a lot of heat from my roommates because I wanted to get married and have children, as you know. And so I wonder if, Lili, were you feeling that same pressure to get a career and do the work thing, or did it just kind of happen? Like, did you feel that you had to make a choice between I'm going to be a mom with kids or a career woman?
Yeah, but that started so much earlier in my life. When I would study my parents and I looked at my dad's lifestyle and I looked at my mom's lifestyle, I always gravitated more to my father's, which he was an architect, an autodidactic, had his own business. His life seemed so exciting and diverse. And I always thought my mom's life seemed kind of stuck, like she was not growing and evolving, which it was a terrible assumption because, of course, she was doing all those things. But I just, as I mentioned, gravitated more to my father's model of life and aspired to that.
And do you think you made a conscious choice, Lasta? Did you feel a pressure to choose between starting a family and a career, or was it even part of it?
You know, it's interesting. I really didn't know what I wanted to do career-wise. I mean, I just kind of floated around, and it was like, I felt so liberated in college at UCSB just being able to do anything. And I just wanted that fun to continue. So I never really focused on what am I going to do with my life, you know? And getting into television just fell into my lap. And I started at CNN and went from there. And I kind of loved that. But there were a lot of cute boys. And, you know, and it just kind of continued. So I never felt the urge to, you know, I don't want to say settle down, but just to get married and have children. I just wanted to see where this career could take me and what experiences I could have. And, you know, and then it just turned into work. It just mm-hmm. turned into doing more and more work and traveling all over the place.
Yeah, that life. And how about for you, Lili? Do you feel like there was a period of time where you might have settled into a marriage and that time passed by, or do you feel like you still haven't even gotten to that place yet?
I feel like I haven't gotten to that place yet. I think I bumped into it a few times along the road because I have been engaged 3 times. But
say it with pride.
3 times. And yeah, but I was just so being depleted, I think, as I mentioned, through the business and that kind of thing, that I just couldn't take on the emotional demands that a relationship would require. But now I feel completely ready and open for that.
Yeah. And is there a part of you that feels sad that you're at this place and still looking?
No, you know why? Because I was so passionate about what I wanted in my life, and I just didn't want to give half of myself to it. I wanted to give 100% of myself to it. And that's how I feel about a relationship now. Like, I'm untethered enough from those other obligations that I could really pour myself into a relationship and it could really blossom.
Yeah. Lasta, do you feel like you're at that place where you're willing to go 100%, or you still have?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's no sadness to my being single either. And I'm so grateful for all my experiences that have led me to this place. And I'm also, you know, I think I've unwired. I was a little bit wired tight in my 20s and 30s to just, you know, be there and here and there and this and that and do all. And, you know, now I've kind of relaxed a little bit and mm-hmm. come into my own more, that I can appreciate a slow build to a relationship instead of it being instantaneously, okay, we're boyfriend, girlfriend right now, we're doing this, we're doing that. I think now it's just, like I said, the companionship aspect would just be a great first step for me. And then, you know, obviously if marriage came to it, I'm fine. I'm fine just dating for the rest of my life.
Well, and I want to read a few descriptors that were along with the research of being single, how single people describe themselves. So see if these fit any of your feelings of yourself. Liberated, not lonely, full of joy, able to feel fulfilled from my own company. Feel I am filled by maintaining relationships with friends and family and coworkers, and not needing then that solo companion to be okay.
We have to pick one of those?
Well, no, yeah. I'm just curious. I'm just curious if those resonate with you, because those are some of the descriptions of the happy single person thriving in 2019. Do any of those stand out to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that our lives get so filled with other things in the absence of a relationship. I mean, it can be hobbies. It can be, you know, passions, literature, pets, travel, adventure, a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. But I think now it's a time when once you had those experiences and one hasn't had the experience of the relationship, that becomes more of a dominant interest.
Yeah, a little of the grass is always greener. I mean, not greener, but just curious about what's on the other side of the fence.
Yeah,
a little bit.
To experience that.
How about you, Lasta? Do any of those descriptors fit you?
Yeah, I think the first one, the contentment. I mean, I am content and, you know, obviously I'm not living alone, so I have mom as companionship, but to an extent. But I also get a lot of fulfillment from what I do, from my writing, from my hobbies, from, you know, traveling. I am tired of sometimes eating alone, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I don't really like going to restaurants alone, but I love going to movies alone.
Yeah.
I do love that, because then I don't want to talk and I want to chit-chat. And I was like, I just want to eat my milk duds and popcorn and watch the movie. And drink my tab.
Yeah, there you go, if you could find it. Well, and then a couple of things that were mentioned in the research on being single was the kind of the joy of creating your own nest and having that space and that privacy of home. Does that also?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's going to be a hard one to give up.
Yeah. And then the last thing I'm going to ask both of you is there is concern when you've been single for a long time that you don't know how to make room in your life for another person, that would be the biggest challenge is how, because you've created such full lives, both of you, mm-hmm. how would you create any space for the compromise and collaboration that goes with bringing in a partner?
It's a reprioritization, I think. Mm-hmm. Things that I deem important right now in my life might not seem so important, especially in the face of love, because love is so powerful. You know, maybe
Amen.
You swim 3 times a week instead of 5. You know, you just make changes. Tailor one's life.
How about you, Lasta?
Somebody said to me that, you know, I'm such a red flag in the dating world because, you know, you've never been married that you're aware of. You know, you live with your mother. Mm-hmm. You're over 50. You're this, you're that. And I said, you know, if that's a red flag to somebody, then that's not the person I need to be with because, you know, there's so many other attributes that I have. And so I don't worry about that. And I think, like Lily was saying, you do reprioritize. You do, you know, like you said, love is the most powerful thing you can have in your life. And I think that for the right person, you're going to make it work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lasta, so thank you so much for carving time out in your day to call in. I really appreciate it.
And if anybody wants to know about bits back in college, give me a holla.
And you're throwing my nickname out there, too, so people are going to really be confused.
Sorry, Elizabeth.
That's right. But also, Lasta, people can check out your podcast, Kiss My Age.
Kiss My Age show. You can get it wherever you get your podcast.
That's fantastic. And just a little side note, Lasta, it's a good thing that you're a woman living with your mom and never married, because there's not a stigma to that as there is if it's a man still living with his mom at a certain age. So you've at least beat that stigma. You're creating
Yay.
Your own path. And the other thing, too, tell your mom I love her. I said hello. And she's probably going to end up in a relationship before you are. I'm just saying.
Oh, she's looking. So if anybody knows any, you know, 86-year-old men who speak Italian and French. And smoke pot, I guess.
Yeah, okay. There you are. Lawson, enjoy your day. Thanks for calling
okay.
in.
Love you.
Love you. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I have with me in the studio my friend Lily, and we're talking about being single and how that is for those who have chosen to be single or maybe are single by default. And we're going to talk a little bit after the break about the different ways of becoming single, because in our social construct, we actually have a hierarchy of what is acceptable as a single, which I find really interesting. Our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest in the studio is my friend Lily, and we're taking your calls on what it is to be single by choice, by default. What are your feelings? And Lodine, thanks so much for waiting. You're so patient. What's on your mind today?
I just love that I'm the third L calling in with last Lily and now Lodine.
Yes.
And we are the liberated ladies. And you know, I'm a little bit younger than you are, and I mean, I think, you know, people choose to be single sometimes by what comes across their path. And as you know, with me, I you know, the right guy never floated my boat until 40.
Yes.
And, you know, when you have your first boyfriend at 40 and then that doesn't work out and you're at 49, I'm looking at being single again as right on, like, I'm kind of, you know, I think the right one will come along. So I'm, whatever that title is, I'm an organic single that I think slow and steady, something will come along. And I agree with the internet dating thing is just bizarre to me.
And so, Lodine, I just want to ask you, because I'm asking everyone today, is there any sadness? Do you feel any sadness that you've hit 49 and you're still not at that place? Or do you still feel like, hey, I've got a lot of time?
I feel like I have a lot of time. I think there's sadness sometimes when people are coupled up and it's kind of like a couple thing, or it's more like family events and you're kind of either the third wheel with somebody or you're somebody's friend. And so sometimes there's an uncomfortable thing with social things, but I don't think I'm sad. I think there's times where you go, wait, did I miss some boat that I should have maybe taken just because of societal norms of like you should be married at 49. But I think now that I'm almost 50, I'm kind of like realizing, hey, I'm good. I have a job. I own my own home. I travel a lot. I have great, you know, friends and family. You know, I'm pretty content. So.
And you also have a lot of energy for life.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the other ladies mentioned that, you know, or you mentioned being full of joy and living a fulfilled life through your family, friends, and my work. I mean, I have a great profession, and, you know, I never had the burning need to have children and became a teacher. So, I mean, I'm with 21 kindergartens all day long, and to be honest, I don't know how my teachers with children go home to children. I mean, it's nice to go home to a quiet house after a pretty interactive day.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward, I was going to ask Lily the same thing. What is it that is the ideal now? Because, you know, when we're young, it's you look for that partner who you can raise a family with. But what do you look for in a partner now at almost 50? And Lily, I don't even know how old you are.
We'll just keep it that way.
Okay.
I think shared interests is really important. I mean, just core values and you know, things like monogamy. Like, that's really, really important to me. I would never give that up. So if somebody wasn't on board with that, then, you know, there's no way it could work. Mm-hmm. But somebody who loves to travel, who's, you know, an adult learner, who's constantly evolving and growing, these kinds of things.
The same for you, Lydia?
Yeah. And that they're honest, yes. Honesty is so important.
Boy, and in that, I think that's true in all relationships. Ladine, thank you for waiting, and thanks for calling in, my friend.
You bet. Thanks. Great to talk to you. Bye.
And so what is something that you would want to talk to other singles about, Lily? Like, what is something that's important to you that you would like to know if other singles experience?
Oh, one thing at the top of my mind is, where do we meet each other?
Okay.
Okay, so if you don't want to go to bars, like, which I certainly don't want to, I'd like to meet people, you know, where you and I cross paths, the Avila Bay Club. That would be great because, you know, it's going to be somebody who's
athletic.
Find someone
in the pool and the lane next to you.
Yeah, and loves the great outdoors and all these things and is intellectual and aspires in life. But I just find it's really hard to connect with single men, similar age. You can be a little bit younger, I don't mind. And, you know, that share a lot of those same values. And I would love to talk to other singles and say, hey, and I do actually ask people where do they go to meet people.
And it is an interesting thing. Is it impolite to ask someone right up front, what's your relationship status before I bother spending too much time chatting with you?
Yeah, there's easy ways, coy ways to find out, though. I mean,
our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And Joe, you're on the air. What's on your mind? Is it Joel?
Joe, J-O-E.
Hi,
well,
Joe.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing well. What inspired you to call about this topic?
Oh, I wish I had 3 hours and we could go nationwide. I've been everywhere. When it comes to being single as well as relationships. And I totally respect what the ladies are saying. And I can give you very specific examples. In Santa Barbara, they closed down the Borders. And Borders was a place where a lot of people went and bought books and you could chat with people, et cetera, so forth. And I was in San Luis Obispo a few years ago, and the first thing I thought of is, where do you meet people when you're adult? So I went to a coffee store and asked somebody and said, and the woman said, well, you can meet people everywhere here. And what I find so fascinating about what these ladies are saying is you can hear the yearning for the respect of a relationship. And it's also very simple to realize that if we're busy with our job, whatever it happens to be, an animal, exercise, it can be a surrogate for things we don't really want to examine. And when it comes down to it, I don't know anyone who would choose being alone over being in some type of relationship that they would consider somewhat nurturing unless they've had severe trauma. And, you know, I'll go here with a little story. I used to work with disabled children and from every behavioral spectrum. And we had a procedure when the children came to class. These were little kids. Each child had to go to the front of the board every morning, and we had a little mood board. And so if you were in a happy mood, you had to get the little dot and put it next to the smile and say, I'm in a happy mood, and everybody would say, why? So you'd explain, so we'd have immediate empathy with that person or if they were sad and so forth. And, you know, those of us that are in San Luis heard about the woman who jumped off the overcross the other day and committed suicide. And my first thought was, how about if we make a button we can wear on our shirt that says, I'd like to be held. And I wonder how many people would walk around and hold each other because, you know, push come to shove, we can't meet anyone if we don't welcome ourselves. And that, you know, my father's from Louisiana, so I have a whole different perspective than California people. But what I'm saying that ultimately we have to find that rainbow waterfall within ourselves and honor that and then get to a place where we can find somebody that we can actually converse with. And as far as the companionship thing goes, that the one woman was talking about, ever since I was a little kid, I only wanted two things out of life, music and love. I write music, and I'm actually making a film right now. But the point of it is I never had a direction for love. I just knew love was like a leaf falling from heaven. It doesn't know where it's going. And if it knew where it was going, it would be agenda-based, which is so sad in many American conversations. Immediately, if a man says hello to a woman, often in America, the woman thinks it's seductive-based. That's why I prefer hanging around with people from other countries. If I talk to a woman from Sweden that I just met, she doesn't think I'm trying to sleep with her.
Well,
and
Joe,
we have
well,
an actual conversation.
I'm going to jump in. Because you have so many points that you're making that I need to jump in a couple. So, Lily, Joe's theory is, thank you for calling, Joe, that everyone would choose companionship in a relationship over being alone across the board. True or untrue?
I think it changes. It fluctuates throughout our lifetime, depending upon what demands are taking place. Mm-hmm. I mean, if a parent just dies, or a sibling for that matter, and you're really depressed, I don't think that's a really great time to connect with somebody else because, you know, you have to go through that grieving process and help your family and move beyond that. But if you're in a more buoyant place in your life, like as I mentioned earlier, I am now, mm-hmm. like now is a perfectly fertile time for me to meet somebody. So, yeah, So I'm not really on board with that. I really do think it fluctuates.
Well, I like the idea, though, of because I said to you, it's not really socially correct to walk up to someone and say, hey, what's your status? But if we did have a button, kind of like a mood ring,
yeah.
that said, hey, I'm available for chatting, or I would love to have a cup of tea, or I'm looking for, you know, I wonder if we just wore it. You know, our moms used to say, your heart on your sleeve. What if we wore the button on your lapel?
I love it. Because there is somebody I have my eyes on, and I have no idea if they're involved or not. And I just think we would make a great connection, and I don't know.
How do we step forward?
And they don't have a ring. So.
And you don't have your friends in class where you can have them go over and ask for you.
Right.
When we get to a certain age, we kind of lose that social ability to just mm-hmm. have someone else do our bidding for us.
So true.
Our number is 805-781-3875. It's the Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Gay, are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Elizabeth and Lily.
Hi.
I'm not as you are very articulate, and I was very interested in your topic. So I'm sort of a first-time listener.
Thank you.
And I just, I'm not as articulate, but I am a widow, and that's a whole different realm of singleton that you don't expect to have happen. And it's, I loved hearing the lady that was talking about feeling invisible. But when you are over 70 and you are no longer a couple, there is a sense of that mm-hmm. that's very strong. And I don't know, there's a whole lot of secondary losses that people have spoken about, and it just seems like it's sort of universal. No matter what the reason, but going along with what Lily said, it's even though you maybe, I am very comfortable where I am in life. I don't want a partner. I'm not looking for a ring, but looking for companionship and just somebody to do things with. Maybe go to a movie, go to a restaurant, somebody to have on speed dial when you're feeling up or down. Or anyway, that's just. Just calling in to say thank you for the topic.
And thank you for calling in, and thank you for bringing up the different ways that we become single, because I was going to mention that, and I failed to, that there's this social construct about being single in our society. So if you're single by choice, we're becoming more and more accepting as a society to say that's an actual life choice that people respect, as opposed to 30 or 40 years ago, people would mm-hmm. say, oh, you're a spinster or a school marm or you're the loveless bachelor. But now mm-hmm. it's actually a career choice or a life choice. Those who are single because they were divorced tend to have less status as single people. The social construct around that is this person maybe made poor life choices, ended up divorced, you know, it kind of puts a red flag on them. But then those who end up being single because they were widowed tend to have great the society has great compassion for them.
Absolutely.
And that there's great acceptance for those who become single because they're widowed. And a lot of people believe that they are the best companions to look for, because if they're widowed, the idea is that they must have been in a loving, committed relationship and would then again be a great companion. Mm-hmm. So do you experience that too, that people judge your status of single based on if you're by choice divorced or widowed?
You know, I think it's in our head. I really do. I think that we put, as a single person, I know that I've felt these things. Like, I think people are thinking that. Like, they would invite me to come over for Thanksgiving dinner, this kind of thing, and I wouldn't go because I didn't want to be the odd woman out. That kind of thing, or have to talk about myself, you know. And I would just stay alone, you know, during some really, really important holidays because I just thought I would look strange. But I don't think people are wired that way. I think people, for the most part, have very benevolent hearts. And if you're alone, they just don't want to see you alone. And it's like they just want to wrap their arms around you and say, come be with us.
Well, and my husband would say, to a fault, always I'm trying to partner up my friends, that I have a huge matchmaking sense. Mm-hmm. I think I'm good at it, which I guess other people would argue. But how do you feel about that? Do you feel that people in your friend group are constantly trying to match you up with someone?
No, I wish they would.
Oh, okay, good.
God, come on, friends.
Then maybe that's my next job is Lily. Our number is 805-781-3875. Steve, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm single and I'm 72 years old. In Santa Barbara, and I've always felt that I've traveled better in the world as a single operator. Hmm. I find traveling in the world as a couple to be awkward and cumbersome, and usually an energy drain and not an energy adder.
Mm-hmm. Have you been single for your entire life, or are you newly single? How did you find yourself to be at this spot, 72 and single?
I've been single all my life, and then I'm someone who values solitude, mm-hmm. and I like to be alone. Maybe about half the time, I relish my solitude. But on the other hand, the other half of the time, I like to be with other people. But I like to be with a variety of other people, not necessarily locked into a couple.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you're social support group then is more your friends, or is it family or coworkers? Where do you find your social support?
Yeah, my family has mostly died off, mm-hmm. and I'm finding that a problem at this age. And mm-hmm. friends have died off and gotten sick, and I'm starting to get to that age where it is a bit of a problem because the people in my social support system are not there anymore,
right?
Like they were 20 and 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm hearing Steve say, and I think this is a theme for a lot of people who are older, is that if there was a village or a place where we could meet and gather, and mm-hmm. you know, I had Linda Beck on the air a few weeks ago, and she was talking about the same thing, and I want to say it was. And it's just slipped my mind that there are groups in the communities that kind of come together for single people to meet and socialize or share housing or share resources. Have you found anything like that, Steve, in where you are in Santa Barbara?
No, I've not. Absolutely not. I feel like there's too much turnover in this community, particularly now with the way that rents are. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to be driven out, and it seems to turnover in the community seems to be faster and faster and faster all the time. There's no continuity, yeah. in this community at this time. And I found a lot more continuity and a lot more social support. I love to travel to Mexico for the winter. Mm. And then that's another reason, you know, I love sailing. I love traveling to Mexico for the winter. And that's another reason not to be in a couple, because there's not that many couples, other spouses who would even approve of someone liking to sail, liking sailing, or you know, going off for months at a time to Mexico,
having the adventures. Yeah, Steve, I appreciate your perspective. And if you find that community, the group, you need to call me back and let me know so we can share the information.
I'd just like to leave it with a thought.
Yes.
I find it much easier to find in Mexico than I do here.
And I appreciate it, because I think one of the things, thank you, Steve, one of the things that Lily and I have been talking about is how to find your people in the community that you live in.
Very true. I think the website you're thinking of is Meetup.
Is that
it's groups throughout the community, whether it's literature or just any special hobby, and people with like minds come together and meet.
Yes. So you just so you go to meetup.com, and you can actually start one as well, right, if you're interested.
Oh, definitely.
In poetry, you just put out there, I'm looking for people who are interested in poetry, and then
exactly
people respond. And you, because I think that's one of the things we're finding out, as the older we get, we have to be more intentional in creating our communities. And it's so easy to isolate and be indoors and stay on our computers and stay online and be a little isolated, that it takes more effort, I would bet, to put yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially to step out alone, too.
Have the confidence to do that.
Yes.
Margie, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
I'm the oldest one so far.
All right.
I'm 80 years old. I have been divorced and widowed. I have been single for 13 years, and it's a real mixed bag. And I really can validate what one of the women earlier said about wanting companionship, although I'm involved in hundreds of things, companionship with one person I can count on. But the young man that I spoke to earlier said he had to bleep me before, so I am to be really careful.
You're on notice, Margie. No F-bombs on the air.
I have had more offers from married men than single men, and the men my age, I mean, this is a fact, this is a reality, my friends that are in my age group concur with this. At my age, many men my age can't keep up with the energy of a woman my age.
You need to be dating down then.
I did, but it wasn't that, you know, they're all these 60-year-old married men, not all, but a variety of 60-year-old, 65-year-old men have come my way. But then I found out that they are married or separated or something. And so, you know, it's just pain. And yet I have a happy life, and I'm right now going off to conduct the Central Coast Youth Chorus, and I've made things happen for myself, because I'm pretty sure it's never going to happen again for a committed relationship.
But then you never know. But then you never know, right? The minute
that's what they say.
Margie, thank you for calling in. I appreciate always hearing from you. And so, Lily, is that a thing? Have you had a problem with married men being?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how do you deal with that?
Well, that's not something I would ever entertain. Friendship, fine. Conversations. In fact, I have a number of really wonderful male friends, and they're married, and they respect me as a woman and would never, ever
cross that line.
Yeah, exactly. And I also make it really clear that line is not going to get crossed, you know.
But that must make it frustrating, because...
But I have a question for them, Elizabeth.
Yes.
If birds of a feather flock together, I would say... Well, do you have any single friends? So, you know, that's one way to kind of network, you could say.
So, yes, if the married man approaches you and you say, not interested, but do you have any kind friends? But then I would be worried if this was someone who's crossing a line and wanting to try to, you know, have an affair, I wouldn't trust any of their friends either.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely clear the way for that wasn't, you know.
And this has been always my suggestion. I always, you know, get on my husband about this, because he's a wonderful man. I think you need to try harder to look for single friends that you have. For my girlfriends who are single, because you would have good men in your social circle.
Right, exactly.
But he doesn't look. And that he's not a good resource, because it never occurs to him until I say, is he single? Oh, yeah, I forgot. And so I think that good old-fashioned arranged relationships is still really powerful, and that it kind of is on us as a community of friends and supporters to look out for each other.
Yeah. I think you're right. But I also think, circling back to this gentleman that I'm very interested in.
Yes.
Like, I'm old school, so it's really hard for me to approach a man and just say, hey, would you like to have coffee sometime? that would be so hard, but I know that's the very thing I need to do.
And is that, have you noticed the social norms in dating change in the years that you've been single? How, you know, throughout the last couple of decades and post-feminist movement, do you mm-hmm. feel you have more ability to be assertive?
Or authority, absolutely. I don't think there's a stigma associated with that any longer.
And so what's the concern for you moving forward? You know, do you envision yourself being Margie and 80 and single, or are you the eternal optimist about
life? I'm the eternal optimist. Uh-huh. You know, it's like I tell a dear friend of mine, it just takes one grain of sand. I mean, you think of all the billions of people on Earth, all the billions of grains of sand. It's just one. And there's some reason it's taking the time it's taking. I'm learning a lot of incredibly valuable life lessons. But I would say this to anybody, that it's never too late. I mean, I hear of people in their 80s, even early 90s, in senior citizens' homes, you know, getting started in relationships, new relationships.
And I think, I hate to say that it's, you know, about putting out that energy of being available or being open, because then that makes single people feel like it's somehow my fault or I'm not doing the right work. And I don't think it is that. I think there's a little bit of lightning and magic in finding that. But I do believe that there's being in the right places.
Yeah.
Because I think for women especially, we tend to hang out doing and being interested in things that other women are enjoying doing. And there has to be, and men the same way, tend to hang out doing things that men enjoy doing. We have to find a way to commingle those interests to find each other.
Yes. And I think, too, as women, we're taught not to be too out there with ourselves because we don't want to elicit the wrong attention, that we're easy and that kind of thing. And, you know, that was really ingrained into my upbringing, especially by my father, since I was the only girl out of five boys. So now to be out there and to say what we want and to ask, you know, I think it's perfectly okay to do that. And I think that men now are cultured and sophisticated enough to realize any woman that might ask me out for a glass of a cup of wine or coffee isn't trying to, you know.
That she's not racy.
Yes, exactly. She doesn't have round heels, as my grandma used to say.
Lily, thank you for coming in today.
Oh, my pleasure, Elizabeth.
This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. You can continue to be part of the conversation by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Follow us on Instagram, elizabeth_TRT, or on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast to upload the show, share the shows with your friends. As always, thank you for being part of our community and conversation. And thank you for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.